topic for this morning is Kiddushin and non-Jews. That's what we're that's our field of play here. So, you know, and again, next time the Mamzer and theoretically Ptsua Daka, but not realistically. We begin by talking about the status of marriage for Bnei Noach among themselves. What is marriage for Bnei Noach in the eyes of Halacha? And that will set us up with a framework for understanding what marriage is for Bnei Noach that will affect also potentially circumstances that do involve Jews. So we already read last time, I reproduced it for you here in source Aleph, or not last time, but when I did the intro shiurim. The Rambam's formulation, the beginning of Hilchos Yishus, in which he writes, Koda Matan Torah, before the Torah was given, how did marriage work? Hayadam Pogya Isha Pashuk, man met a woman in the market, Imratza Hu Vehi Lisa, if they both went along with him marrying her, Machnisa Labeso, Ubala, Beino Levenatzmo, Tiela Leisha, there was no concept of witnesses, she comes home with him, they live together, here, Boala means sexually, that's what it's saying. The TLO the Isha, and she is his wife. Kimishnit Natara, the Torah was given, then it's Tavo Yisrael, we were given our commands for the way that we do Kiddushin. But the Rambam is saying that pre Matan Torah, marriage was created by intercourse. That's the way it worked. And the Rambam writes in Hilchos Malachim that this continues to be that way for Bnei Noach in source base. He says, Ein ben Noach chayiv al eshes chaveiro ad sheyavo ala kedarka achar shenivel ala bala. He says, one of the Sheva misses Bnei Noach is the prohibition against arayos. There's a seat right here. The prohibition against arayos, which includes adultery. So what defines adultery? What defines a married woman? Ein ben Noach chayiv al eshes chaveiro ad sheyavo ala kedarka achar shenivel ala bala. So he says that ben Noach is only liable for being with somebody else's wife, if he lives with her, kedarka is its own discussion in the Gemara, achar shenivel ala bala, after she has already been with the husband. In other words, what created the status of a married woman in the first place was the fact that she was with her first husband, and that's what generates it. Aval me'orasa, but if they had just had kiddushin, shenichnas ala chuppa, let's say they decided we're going to have a Jewish style wedding. He's not Jewish, she's not Jewish. Okay, the caterer will still take care of it. That's not an issue. So they'll even provide a hammer to break the plate. So if they did such a thing and they only had kiddushin, they only had a chuppah, they didn't have bia. So in that case, they're not considered married. And as a result, there is no issue of eishes ish. How do you know? What pasuk are you quoting? If you take a look at source Gimel, the story with Abimelech, Vayavola Kimel Abimelech Bachalom Alayla, regarding Sarah. Hashem comes to Abimelech in a dream, Vayomarlo, and he says, Hincha Mesal Hisha Shalakachta, oh boy, are you in trouble? You're going to die for what you've done, this woman who you've taken, Vehiba Ulas Baal. She is a married woman. But notice the phrase. It doesn't say she is a married woman. It says she is Be'ulas Baal. There was an act of intercourse. That is, in the eyes of Halacha, what generates the status of marriage among Bnei Noach as it continues both back in the Rambam, in Beis, Bamed, the Rambam, Urim. When is this true? Ben Noach Shabbat Bas Noach. Talking about a Ben Noach with a Bas Noach, Abal Akam, Abal Yisrael. This is a whole different story, as we have to discuss. By the way, once we mention that, I also note the divorce issue. Umeema Saitia Eishas Chavero Kegrusha Shalanu. So how exactly does that end? If marriage is created for them with intercourse, so what happens in order to divorce them? So the Rambam writes, Mishio Tzienui Beisov Yishal Chenela Atzma, when he either sends her away, O Mishitei Mitachas Rishus Avatelechla, or when she leaves on her own. Either way, the assumption is she's living in his house, because historically that was what happened. But either he says, don't come back, or she says, I'm not coming back, and that ends the formal relationship. She'elam gerushin b'ksav. They don't have a written divorce. Vena davar talag bolabad, and it's not up to him. Elakosman she'ir tehu, oh he, lifro, shizemi, that portion, whenever they want to divide it, to separate, that's what they do. Now, I should note, that's actually a three-way machlokes. This is the Rambam's shita. There's a whole discussion about whether that's true. There is another view that says that you don't have a halacha of divorce. There's no such thing. I think the Catholic Church adopted that view. And then there's except for Henry VIII and that whole story. Fine. But was it the 8th? Okay. I just assume that every Henry who's famous must be the eighth. And then you have a third view that takes another view of how divorce works. It's a longer discussion and worthy, if we ever do Gittin, to discuss Gittin for Bnei Noach. There's an article from Rabbi Broid on jlaw.com that summarizes divorce for Bnei Noach, as well as the article I'm going to be quoting from Rabbi Yaakov Krumbein from the Alon Shabbat, which you'll see a reference to in Yud if you want to look it up. He has a nice theory to explain what the origin is of the different views of divorce for Bnei Noach. But the bottom line for us is marriage for them is created by being together with intercourse. That's what does it. Where did this come from? I mentioned the pasuk already, even the Gemara in Source Dalid. From Sanhedrin and Zion, Tani Rabbi Chanina, Be'ulas Baal Yeshlan, Nichnas Alachup, Avlo Nivala Ein Lahen. That's from the Kisugia. The Gemara in Sanhedrin and Zion is the Sugia where we discuss the Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. So it says there, Rabbi Chanina says that they have Be'ulas Baal, meaning that, which is the phrase clearly taken from the Pasuk in Gimel. That is what generates marriage for them. Whereas, Chuppah doesn't do anything for them.
Did they have to live as husband and wife?
So according to this, no. I mean, the only thing is that if you take the Rambam's definition of how divorce happens, then when they each go their own way, that means that effectively what they did was nus rather than marriage.
Right.
So that may be a question here. Yeah. Right, but I don't think that's the way lakata is meant in that circumstance. But in Hanabi, it is funny. Jerry, you were going to say? Yes. Yes. I married off to Bnei Noach. They came to me. They came to me. They were not Jewish. They said that they do not. They had been raised Christian. They didn't really believe in Christianity, but they wanted a religious and spiritual ceremony, and they asked me to do a wedding for them. So I did a Noachide wedding. So the answer is Bnei Noach can indeed. Yeah, what that looked like, I blogged about it. You can find it online. Okay, but what emerges here is it is a vision of marriage for Bnei Noach, which is very different from our own, and it's going to introduce us to the point that's going to underlie the entire shir, which is that there are two different halachic structures of marriage. There is the Jewish halachic structure of marriage, which is Kiddushin Nisuin, and then there is the non-Jewish halachic status of marriage, which I'm going to call, based on what we're about to see, Vidavak. As in Vidavak B'ishto. The Kuntresay Shiurim has a note on this idea of Bia as what generates the marriage. He distinguishes between Bia as Kinyan and Bia as creating marriage. Take a look at Source Hay. The Nira Borer, Da'afil Shitas HaRambam, De Bia HaNamra V'yifas Tawar Himei HaHalacha De Kiddushin HaNamra V'parsha De Kikach Ish Isha. He says the Rambam's view is that when the Torah says that in the case of the Ish Yifas Tawar, the woman taken from the battlefield, that the man is going to live with her after the 30 days, V'achar Kein Tavoy Lo U'Bal Ta, that that's Bia that generates Kiddushin, and he says that that's actual Kiddushin, Kikach Ish Isha Kiddushin, meaning Jewish Kiddushin. Bless you. Modahu de bia hanamra bivnei noach eina legamri me'ub Allah de parshas kiddushin be Yisrael. He says that's not true for what happens with the bia that occurs with bnei noach themselves, not the yifas tawar situation. Ela halacha miyuchedes hi beben noach shenasu ish veish al yedei bia. It's a unique halacha that a ben noach and a bas noach become married via the act of bia. Together ishus ben nachri humei hahalacha did vidavak lo midin bia shal kinyan. The way that they are united is from this vidavak biishta, which we have to talk about, not bia of kinyan. That is, incidentally, one of the pieces that Rabbi Krumbein brings in his analysis of divorce for Bnei Noach and the argument for why divorce, as the Rambam sees it, is not dependent on him divorcing her, but it could go either way. He says, because it's not a Bia Shel Kinyan. It's not that there was a Kinyan in which you would say, well, the man and the woman have transacted and in some sense, some transfer of rights has taken place from the woman to the man, and therefore divorce requires that the man relinquish those rights, which is what we see within Jewish divorce. But within non-Jewish divorce, there's been no transfer of rights, and therefore he can end the marriage, she can end the marriage, it doesn't make a difference. That's Rabbi Krumbine's Ha'ara, part of his view. So the Kiddush Hashirim notes, Bia is not Kinyan Bia, it's rather Vidavak. He draws this from the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Nunchesam, the Beis, that talks about whether the idea that a non-Jew who lives with his wife, but Bia Shalo Kedarka, the sexual relations that are not in the normal way and that don't provide her with the same physical hana, he may be Chayav, because he has violated Vidavak. Vidavak assumes that it is a relationship which involves the same physical satisfaction for him and for her. So we're going to see more about this idea of Vidavak throughout the Shir. But that's an important point, which is cemented, so to speak, Vidavak, get it? In source Vav, the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Chesamet Aleph. Al kein yazav ish es aviv es imo. The Torah says regarding Adam and Chava and their progeny. Therefore, a man should leave his av, his aim. So Rabbi Eliezer Omer aviv achos aviv. What is the Torah saying when it says you should leave your father and mother? As a halachic statement, what does that mean? So it means avoid forbidden relations. So your father doesn't mean your father; it means achos aviv. It means your father's sister. Imo, your mother, doesn't just mean your mother. It means achos ima, it means your mother's sister. Rabbi Akiva Omer, no. Aviv is Eshes Aviv. Aviv is the father's wife. Imo is Imo Mamish, is actually his mother. And then the key for us, Vidavak velo bezachar, because their relations are not called Vidavak, and Beishto velo be'eshes chavero, only with his wife, not with somebody else's wife. That's the origin of associating the pasuk of Vidavak Beishto with marriage for Bnei Noach. Since it says stick with your wife, not somebody else's wife, that's where we get the idea that that's where we establish their definition of marriage. Now you might look at that and say, well, wait a minute, that only establishes an issur for him. Al kein yazav ish, right? Not anything about the isha, but davak beishto. That's very nice for him, but where's the isha for her? So fortunately, once you reach that Gemara and Sanhedrin and Chesam and Aleph, you've already seen Sanhedrin and Zayin Amid Beis, which is source Zayin. Eim a bas noach shezinza lo teharik. Maybe if it's a bas noach, she shouldn't be punished for zinus. Tichsiv al kein yazav ish velo isha. Amar lei hachi amar Rabbi Yehuda. No, Rabbi Yehuda said v'hayu lebasar echad hadar avin hukra. When the pasuk concludes with they should become one flesh, that tells us man and woman are in this together, and the same rules are going to be binding for both of them. So what we've seen in this opening segment is marriage for non-Jews is created differently than marriage for Jews, and it's under this heading of Vidavak, as we shall see, and it is recognized insofar as she is now considered a married woman in terms of laws of Bnei Noach. One Ben Noach is not allowed to be the wife of another Ben Noach. Of course, you will not go the other way around because polygamy is mutter for them. Right? They're allowed to have more than one wife. Therefore, you will not say that a woman can't be with somebody else's husband. Assuming she's single, that's not going to be prohibited for them. Okay. But that brings us to our second piece, which is a non-Jew's marriage going to be considered marriage as far as a Jew is concerned? If a Jew lives with a married non-Jew, she was married to some non-Jew, and a Jew lives with her, has he violated Eishes Ish? That will be the question. So there are two svaros, two arguments I'd like to bring in favor of honoring the marriage, even if it's not like our marriages. One argument is brought in several places from the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Tes, in source Ches. Still from that same sugya where they discuss the Mitzvah B'nai Noach, Lekam Idam Deli Yisrael Shari Ulanach V'Yasur. The principle is, there is nothing that is usur for non-Jews and permitted for Jews. Life doesn't get easier for Jews. if it's usher for them, it's usher for us. There are, of course, notable cases that raise doubts about that and raise questions about that, but that's the principle that we start with. So the question then is, well, ostensibly, we should have to recognize their marriage then. She should be ish as far as we are concerned as well. Nonetheless, there are arguments that are brought to say that it's not true. First of all, the Maharal in his Gur Aryeh writes in Source Tes, he's commenting on Devarim Chaf Aleph and the law of the Eishes Hifas Toar. He says, Ve'ein Zeraya. He says, don't bring me any proofs from that principle of Lekam Idam Do Yisrael Shari L'Nachri Yasser Do Shayach Bo Chomer, because it's not an issue of it being more severe or more stringent for us than for them. She'etzal Yisrael Lo Havi Ishus Ulegai Be Yisrael Nechshava Pnuya. She's not considered married at all for us. In other words, the law of don't be with a married woman applies to them and applies to us. It's just as severe. However, the definition of married is going to be different. Don't look at it in terms of, is this woman permitted? The law applies to both them and us. So even if she's not considered married for us, that doesn't create a situation in which something is also for them and mutter for us. That's the Maharal's position.
Well, the law apply, it doesn't mean with some definition. It's not the law in abstract. I mean, there's the air.
No, it's not, because you could construct other cases like that. You know, Abram and Achai is usher for them and usher for us, but you can come up with ways in which, in terms of the laws of Shechita, something will be called Abram and Achai for them and won't be called Abram and Achai for us. As long as Abram and Achai is usher, the specific iteration doesn't have to be. That's the argument that he's making. Rabbi Yochum Krumbein.
Is she permitted to be with him? I mean, I can understand here.
So we're going to talk about that very briefly, in very short order. It's going to be in Yud Aleph, so just hang in there. Rabbi Yochum Krumbein, in his article in Yud, fleshes out this idea which we see in the Maharal. He says, "Nachon u'shaleka midi v'chulei, klomar shekol shem iser haneser livnei Noach, aser gam liYisrael." He says it's true that the shem iser, the category of iser, has to apply to us too. Meidach l'mashal, but on the other hand, he says, I'll give you an example. He says, Raya bebezin hamaspika l'vnei Noach ena miskabelas bedina Yisrael. Evidence that will be accepted in a Noachide court is not going to be acceptable in a Beis Din. K'mochin gam hagdaras Beis Din atzmo. The whole definition of what is a Beis Din is shona is different. So Epshalasakim, Sheyitachin Lahaflos bin Goli Yisrael, Bashelos Alchatiyod, he says it could be that you would distinguish between Jews and non-Jews in halachic issues, questions that come up, which come from Hagdaras Musagei Halachasha Amnam Meshutafim Legoyim Al Yisrael, legal principles which apply equally to both of us, but their specific iterations are going to be different. Elasha Kriterionim Shonim. Okay, that's the idea. Yeah.
Is it possible? I mean, based on this, on what Rabbi said, technically, is there any way that a non-Jewish woman could ever be defined as a nesua for a Jew?
In other words, is he saying then that their marriages simply don't count for us? All he's saying right now, right? So the answer is, I don't think that's been proven yet. All he's saying is that the principle of Lekha Midam won't generate it. But it could well be that there will be a reason to follow it. We have to see.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's another reason against Carlos also, that their business construed differently.
Right. That's true, and that is one of the arguments that's brought. Jeremy is pointing out the issue of litigating with a Jew in a secular court. Another reason why not to do it is that their rules are different. Aside from the basis, what the Chiddush of Arkos says is even if their laws would be exactly the same, they would convene the basis in the same way, use our rules of evidence, you know, and our rules of psak and everything else, we still wouldn't accept it. But the Avnei Miluim goes back to what Tommy has said. He says, Venerally Yashav, he says, you could justify this, and he's part of a longer discussion there that we're going to come back to. But he says, "Lefima shekasa b'chadusha aran sham, da'ava b'isha Yisrael eno chayav be'eshes ish goy shegzeras hakatzav lifteras Yisrael mishum dechsev eshes reyov v'benoach l'nema reyeyu." I don't want to get into the area that I just sped read because we're not ready for it yet. But he says it's true that you could come up with a halachic argument, which we're going to see, to say that as far as the Jew is concerned, she's not considered a married woman. based on a pasuk. Aval, but he says he chayeves kemoam nivla lebenoach. She will be just as liable as if she had lived with a non-Jew. V'kevani chayeves, and since she is aser now li yisrael habias, then the bia is also prohibited mishum lifneiver lesitei michshol. It's a lifneiver problem. The which category of lifnei iver, misayei, or whatever is its own discussion, but lifnei iver applies to bnei noach. So that lifnei iver applies to bnei noach. The straight gemara. Where in the beginning of Avodah Zarah gives you the two classic examples of lifnei iver, right? So one of them is giving wine to a nazir, and the other is Abraham had a chay to bnei noach. So,
but that's for a Jew to a bnei noach.
Right, that's what we're talking about here. A Jewish man living with a non-Jewish woman who is married.
Right. What's that one the other way around?
You're about to say Bishvil Shayizka. What about it? Okay. Sorry, is there what?
Would that work the other way around?
What do you mean? That she would be guilty of Livneiver for him?
Yes.
So I don't think so. I don't think the neighbor is one of the seven. I mean, granted that the seven Mrs. Bnei Noah have a way of mushrooming to be way more than seven, but I don't think Lifneiver is one of theirs.
Okay.
But that's the Avnei Miluim's point, that she's still going to be usher for him anyway. It's Lifneiver, and therefore you don't have to worry about Lekamidam. That there's nothing that will be mutter for them and usher for us, because it won't be mutter for but there's nothing will be usher for them and mutter for us, because it won't be mutter for us, because there's still a lifnei iver issue. There's more to say about this whole issue, obviously, as we go along. This tie in the Maharal, fine. The Maharal says that's why you need the, I'll say it now. We're going to see that regarding Eishes Hifas Toar, the woman from the battlefield, we say that he's allowed to do this with her even if she is a married woman. They bring a pasuk. Maharal says, why do I need the pasuk? Because of this lifnei iver. The pasuk is needed to override the lifnei iver concern.
But the hifas toar is a separate category.
Yes. Yes, it is.
So really, you can't learn stuff from it.
No, that's in a chanami. But the question is, why did you need a pasuk there to tell me if you're telling me that their marriages aren't recognized for us? And the answer is, because of the lifnei iver would still be a concern for them. That's all. I have a second argument for why their marriages should count, even if their marriages don't count, but again, because of an extraneous reason. I thought to bring this, but I haven't seen anybody address it. We say this regarding Dina de Machusa Dina. We say the law of the land is the law, right? Bava Kama Kufyud Gimel. So there are all sorts of rationales that are given to explain why we are obligated to honor the law of the land. But one of my favorites comes from a Rashi in Gittin. The Rashi in Gittin is Yud Beis. It talks about, the Gemara there talks about how we honor legal documents established in secular systems other than get being different, and Kiddushin is different, and Shechut, fine. So take a look at Yud Beis. The Rashi on the exclusion of Gitei Nashim explains why don't we honor a bill of divorce made in a civil court. Boy, would that smooth over a lot of issues. So he says, Chutz Migidei Nashim, Dilav B'nei Krisus Ninu, they're not subject to the laws of divorce. They're not part of that. Ho'avolo Shechut B'toros Gitei Mekiddushin. Aval Aladinin Ixtavu B'nei Noach. But he says they are commanded for dinin, and that's why we honor their legal documents. Meaning, one of their sheva mitzvahs b'nei noach is to set up a legal system. How narrow or broad you make that depends. Machlokes rishonim, but he says non-Jews are obligated in dinim. Therefore, we have to honor their laws. The tshuva, the Chachmei Provence, which I brought you in Yud Gimel, which I'm not going to read inside, who expresses it even stronger. I'll only pull out the phrase chalila lanu la sosam. Velikros ze dina de malchusa ach dina de bnei noach. He says, of course they're incumbent upon us. Meaning, we all started out as Bnei Noach. We were under that. Right? And then, at Har Sinai, we gained the Torah. But it doesn't mean we're no longer subject to the dinim that they create. You know, and I'll say it even stronger than that. It becomes a joke if you're going to tell me they're obligated to create laws and we're not obligated to follow them. Right? What does that even mean? What about Eber Menachai? That's not about dinim. That's not about setting up a legal system. What is it? What I'm saying is, if non-Jews have an obligation of setting up a legal system, we are obligated to honor that legal system. Insofar as it doesn't contradict Torah, that's the known exception. But in general, we are obligated to honor it because it's one of their mitzvahs. How can you tell me that they're mitzvah to create this and we get to flout it.
There are things under a legal system, and you're saying that in general you're recognized stuff under their legal system, but not if it's something that is contradictory to our system.
Right, in a chanami. But this is an argument for why dina demachusa dina.
Sometimes.
Always. It's not a reasonable dina de machusa. It's not an appropriate implementation of dina de machusa if it's going to contradict the Torah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's the argument. I haven't gotten to the application yet. The application of this in our discussion, what I wanted to say is, if they also have a law of arayos, which applies to this married woman, married by their definition, shouldn't we have to honor it also?
Right.
Right. No, my point in using the machuzah is just that the paradigm exists for one of their mitzvahs. Why doesn't the paradigm exist for all of their mitzvahs? Why am I not obligated? But I haven't seen anybody say that. I just thought it was a reasonable approach.
You're Gimel, right? You're saying that we're basically bound to the shadow of the
Torah. Yeah. Yeah.
So if that's the case, then just like under those rules.
Yeah.
Does everyone say that it's one plus for us?
More or less, the Gemara has a discussion in a couple of places about mitzvahs that were said before Sinai that weren't repeated after Sinai. There's more to say about this.
So I don't remember whether or not adultery is still in the criminal code or not. It used to be, I think. But it's back when it was.
Well, that's its own discussion. Is the criminal code honoring the mitzvah of dinim? Are they fulfilling what they're supposed to fulfill? That's a good question.
If you go back to your Olive, yeah, it wouldn't just be Eber, he'd be over Dina de Machusa Dina then, if she's not allowed to.
Oh, meaning if she commits adultery, is she in violation of Dina de Machusa if adultery is in the criminal code? Yeah. So that's another reason why it's left the Eber issue. That's a very interesting point. Okay. Yes, I mean, there's a lot of discussion about what exactly is included with the Dina Machusa. I didn't bring this in order to debate Dina Machusa Dina. My point was only to say that we have precedent for saying if they have a mitzvah, it should be incumbent on us as well, insofar as it doesn't contradict Torah. And therefore, if they have a mitzvah of honoring the marriage of each other, we should be bound to honor that marriage as well. Ezer.
Wouldn't Rashi's comment sort of mitigate that a little bit in the sense that
they're not in Gittin v'Kiddush?
Exactly. So they're not saying, you're right, they don't have power over Gidin related.
Except that it's Hidei Nashim for our marriages. It's not Hidei Nashim for their marriages. In other words, it's
you're
ours.
Right, but you're saying, it doesn't work for us in this case, but we want it to work for us in the cases that they say,
No. In other words, for our marriages. I'm saying we would have to recognize their get. Assuming there was such a thing as a get for them within their marriages, which we've already noted is not. But if they had a law of get for their marriages, then we would have to recognize it insofar as their marriages are concerned. Rashi isn't talking about that, but that's not what Rashi's dealing with. Rashi's talking about Hidei Nashim for us.
Well,
Rashi's not addressing their marriages.
But Rashi's verb is still applied to their marriages, even so.
No. Because if we said that, in fact, there was such a thing as get for their marriages,
right,
which again, we don't.
Right.
But if we said there was such a thing, then Rashi would have no problem with that. Rashi is talking about, specifically, Hidei Nashim for our marriages. That, I don't think that's an issue. I want to go by there because this is a tiny piece of a much bigger issue. Now that we've gone out of the way, the two non-marriage-oriented arguments for recognizing their marriage. One being, it can't be also for them and mutter for us. And the other being that they have to honor it, so therefore it should be inherited by us. We have to see multiple passages of Gemara which could be read in both directions. And it's all going to come down to the distinction I drew earlier of between whether I understand non-Jewish marriage as ishus, as marriage like ours, it's just created through a different mechanism, or whether I understand it as being a separate bria, this separate thing called vidavak. So first of all, the major source that is brought indicating that there is such a thing as marriage for them is the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Nun Chesem at Aleph, which we already have seen. I didn't reproduce it, therefore, on the sheet, but it was vidavak b'ishto v'lo b'eishes chavero. Right? We saw it already back in... Which one was it? We saw it back in Vav. The Sanhedrin Nun Chesem at Aleph. So that would seem to indicate that there is such a thing as marriage. Right? However, you could argue that if we accept the model of Vidavak for them, then it isn't necessarily recognized for us. And that's the point that the Avnei Miluim makes in Source Yadalad. He says, Rambam perech tazos malachim, zal, the Rambam writes, or Zelashono, the Rambam writes, Ein Asia Sifas Torah Muteres Ela Bishas Shivya. The Rambam says, Asia Sifas Torah is not permitted unless it is that time of battle when captives are being taken. It applies whether Besula, whether Asia is Ish. And then the Rambam says, She'ein Ishus Lagoy. He says, there is no marriage when it comes to non-Jews. Black and white. Umashma disvirulei Danish is the going klal. It sounds like he means nothing. Gornish, there is no marriage for them. That's the Rashba in Kiddush Mechafalov. Dein ish is the going klal. Vafilu isra ase leka. There isn't even a mitzvah ase of stick to your wife, right, and not someone else's. Not even that. Uladas Rambam ve Rashba hach ase dividavak biishto. Eino elo livnei Noach. According to this view, v'davak be'ishto only applies to Noachites. Avali Yisrael esalai asei. The Jew does not have any sort of asei like that. Why not? And he says it's going to come from the Gemara that we're about to see. We're not there yet, but it's going to be the next source. So the Avnei Miluim's position is that he thinks that you could argue, and he thinks the Rambam, in fact, will argue, that v'davak only applies to bnei Noach. It does not apply to us. Yes, Jerry and then Jeffrey.
Well, Alkin Yazos was before Noah.
Yes.
Okay, not before Ben Noah.
Yes.
Pre-Noah.
Yes.
Includes everybody.
Yes, and that's the argument I was trying to make a few minutes ago. But as I said, no one else makes it. Except now I have Jerry. Jerry and I are in this boat. When Jerry writes his sefer, I'll be able to say, see, it appears in. Yes, Chidush Balitsky. There we go. Jeffrey, what do you got?
So here the Rambam is saying, any issues with going?
That is the Rambam's wording.
But then he got some Bulgarian back in Bates.
Yes, he means no issues as far as a Jew is concerned.
Oh, as far as
yeah, that has to be what he said.
Yes. If that's the case, then why don't we finish the Eish Shivya? He should be all the time.
Why only?
But
the answer to that would, well, you can give a couple of different answers to that, but the most basic answer is because there's an isser of a Jew with a non-Jew, and that's suspended by the Eish Sifas Torah. So you could give that argument. You could give other arguments, but I think that's the simplest read. Yeah, Alex, you want to say? Okay. So that's your first source, though, that seems to indicate, again, leaving this Rambam aside, it seems to indicate there is marriage for them. Right? The fact that you say, B'ishtav, lo b'ishas chavero. And then you need to answer up and say, well, what am I going to do with the Rambam? The answer is, there is no application for us. The next piece appears in both Kiddushin and in Sanhedrin. It's in Kiddushin, Yud-Tesamad Aleph, partially. And I wanted to bring it from Kiddushin because that's our Masechta. But the truth is, the piece in Sanhedrin has a critical piece that doesn't appear in the Sugya in Kiddushin, and so that's why I brought the Kiddushin one, in, the Sanhedrin one instead, in Tezvav. It's a Braisa. Tanu Rabbanan, Braisa says, Ish, this is talking about the pasuk that prohibits adultery, and that gives a death penalty for it. So the pasuk says, Ish, a man who does this, pravlakatan, that excludes minors. This doesn't apply to minors. Asher yin afas eishes ish, who is with a married woman, prale eishes katan, but only if she's a woman who is married to an ish, not to a minor. Eishes re'ehu, as the pasuk continues, the wife of his re'ah, his peer, prale eishes acherim, that excludes the wife of others, which means non-Jews. That's what it is excluding. So the law of eishes ish will not apply to eishes Nachrim, and then most Yumas Bechenik, that's the death penalty. So there are two ways that you could read this. The seemingly simple way to read this is that there is no death penalty for being with the wife of the Ben Noach, but it's still usher. It's still prohibited, just there's no death penalty. And that's the way the Rashmi Shans read it in Source Tez Zayin. He asks the question regarding Eishes Sifas Toar. He says, why is it that regarding Eishes Sifas Toar we say that even the Eishes Ish is mutter? He says, if their marriage doesn't count for us, why do you need a pasuk for Eishes Yifas Tohar? And his answer is to quote our Gemara that we saw in Tesvav, which said, Pra Leishes Acherim Perush Goy Lamali Krav and Yerel Farish Delav Leka Avalase Ika Ulachi Lalaki. He says maybe there's no losase like brought it from this pasuk, but there is Vidavak. The truth is he's actually saying it's from Vidavak. He's not saying that it's under Eishes Ish. There are others who say that it's under Eishes Ish as well. I think the Urayim and Arayas Yudches takes that view, but I didn't bring it on here. The oh, you know what I did? The I did. It's in Chaf. Sorry, we jump down to Chaf for a second. The Urayim Rabbi Elazar Mimetz says, "Min itzrich kol mishra biyafas tohar." From the fact that I need a pasuk to permit with Eishes Yifas Tohar, Shma mina isura de aray seika. That must mean there regularly is an isur. When the pasuk said it doesn't apply, it meant death penalty doesn't apply. But Eishes Ish still exists. The Urayim is a better source than the Rashi Mishans. They're bringing two different approaches. But either way, there is halachic marriage. The only question is whether there's a death penalty or not, and that's what we are being liberated from here, according to this view. Whereas, if you take a look at Yud Zayin, Rashi disagrees. Rashi says that's not the way to read it. He says La'eshes Acherim that we excluded, that's Nachrim. Ashmina she'en kiddushin l'Nachri u'mehacha tepeklan b'chol duchta. He says this teaches that there is no. There's no kiddushin, there's no isur, there's nothing. And this is our source everywhere for saying that there is no ishus for them. And Tosfos here writes, if you take a look at Yud Ches, he says there is still vidavak, just like that Rashi Mishans. He says, don't forget, there is still the vidavak issue, but it's not a death penalty. That's the position of Tosfos. Yes, Jerry.
Anyone say that the Yifas Tohar thing is not really the permission to mirror it, to mirror the other, because there's a whole bunch of preconditions with that. For instance, leave her alone, let her cry, and all.
Yeah.
But that
is a Bria Bifnayat. Yes.
Are there people
that. Oh, yeah. No, no, no. Yes. Absolutely true.
Okay. So the Rashi Mishans and the Avnei Miluim are.
The Rashi Mishans and the Avnei Miluim? What do you mean?
But there we said you can't be with the Nachri because of the Neiver.
Oh, you mean that one, yeah.
But here the Rashi Mishans is saying it's Asur.
Right, because the Avnei Miluim believes that the Shita of the Rambam is that there's no issues for them as far as we are concerned at all, and even Vidavak is only for the Akum. That's not the position of the Rashi Mishans or of the Tosfos that I brought you in Yud Ches.
Yeah.
They're saying Vidavak applies to us as well.
Yeah.
Different Shita, yeah. Aza, and then Alex. Okay, Alex.
If we normally understand the rules of Eishes Yifas Tohar as a heter, but it really sounds like according to the Rambam, it would be a limitation that normally there's no concept of Eishes, no concept of really being forbidden to a Jew. In the case of Eishes Yifas Tohar, there is this limitation that not anything goes, so to speak.
Right. We're going to still see that there are other Isurim potential for non-Jews, even if you do away with Vidavak, and even if you do away with Ishus for them altogether. So we're going to have to come back to that. It's a good point.
You could go with the original Avnei Miluim.
We don't need to. We had others. We can answer anything. The only question is what's our source. But what we've seen so far, then, are two Gemaras, which, on the face of it, I would have said, yes, there is halachically recognized marriage for them, vis-a-vis a Jew, meaning that she will be called Eishes Ish, but there are other ways to read each of them. The third and final one in this set is the Eishes Yifas Tohar Gemara that we've now referred to so many times that it's anticlimactic. In general, I was trying to figure out how to structure these sources because all of them refer to each other. You can't win. But Kiddushin Chafala from the base in Sursi Yates Tana Rabbanan Vereisa Bashivya means it has to be Bishas Shivya Eishes. I'm not going into the whole morality of the Eishes Yifas Tohar. Does he live with her at all? Unwillingly, before in the Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, all of these are important discussions to have, but they're not going to fit into to this shir. But the rule is that it includes even an Eishes Ish. indicating that generally she's Asura. And an Eishes Ivas Tohar, as Jerry said, it's a unique thing that we're going to permit it. But that means their marriage is recognized in general. Whether I'm going to say Eishes for Akum, or whether I'm going to say Aseya V'davak B'Ishto, it sounds like there is something that that you're not... there is validity to the marriage. That was the Urayim's point of view, that it shows that the marriage is indeed legitimate. And the Ran takes that view as well. Take a look at the Ran in Chaf Aleph, who says, why does this work? I believe the marriage is legit. So he comes up with a novel idea. Yisrael heim b'nei kibush, shekoshin v'sakutim kinyan haguf, v'heim mamon shalahem, v'nifka me'em taras, ishus umutaras alok chale isha. I am not translating any of that. But what the Ran says is that in a chanami, the marriage is 100% recognized, but as a result of this war, the claim of she is married is dissolved. That's the claim that the Rana makes. This is all one way to take it. Once again, you could say, not necessarily. You could take the Tosas that we saw before and say, well, it's Vidavak, it's not that this is actually a los assay of marriage. Or the Ritva, who has a different point of view. The Ritva in Chaf Beis, I underline the key parts. The Ritva says, no, it's not marriage for us. That's not so. Then why do I need a pasuk to permit the Eishes Ifas Tawar? Because this is a terrible thing to do. Not only are you going to war and you're taking a woman captive and you're going to bring her back home, but now you take a married woman. Hey, what kind of manuvel are you? He said, the answer is mutter. But he says, I'm jumping into the middle of the Ritva. He says, I would have thought this is a terrible, ugly thing to do. Behind a rebusa, so I need a pasuk to say, yeah, but it's mutter. Inami, alternatively, the avagav the eishes ishliba nigra achar bala ve'ena misgayeres b'leiv shalem. You could have made the argument that when she converts, it's not going to be a true, full, voluntary conversion. Kipnuya de alma, shari rachmana. But nonetheless, we are permitting her anyway. I would have said, since she's a married woman, maybe she has an attachment to her husband, and she's not going to convert willingly. So the because he's assuming, as we say, that that this is all predicated on her willingness, and maybe that's not so, and that's why you need the pasuk. The upshot of this then is Eishes Ifas Tohar requiring a special pasuk to permit would seem to indicate that their marriages normally are recognized, but again, you have other ways to read the necessity for the pasuk. Jerry.
The Huva, the Ishus of Huva,
The whole link from the beginning of Kitei, right. Say.
It creates an identity between the two marriages.
There is an identity in the sense that they're considered halachically married and their children are considered your kids. In that sense, there is. Yeah.
So if her Gerus is not done with the Lev Shalem, so...
So that would be my suggestion, is that maybe it wouldn't be done B'Lev Shalem. This is a new gloss on conversion for the sake of marriage. The coming soon to a Yarchei Kala near you. But the Pasuk is telling me that it's not a concern. As long as you do it with the proper steps, you don't have to worry about it. Okay. There are two Gemaras that seem to indicate that, no, their marriage is not halachically recognized at all. One, Kedushin Samaches Amud Beis, and this is in Chaf Gimel. The Mishnah talked about which unions create mamzerim and which ones have Kedushin and which ones don't have Kedushin. And we said that a Nachris, marriage to a woman who is not Jewish, does not create Kedushin. So the Gemara asks, Nachris Menolam, how do you know that marriage does not create Kedushin? So the first answer is, Amar Kra Losis Chatein Bam. The Torah says, do not marry them. Which, in other Gemaras, is going to be taken to mean an Isser, of don't live with them as man and wife. However, that's not the way the Gemara here takes it. The Gemara here takes it as a statement that there is no marriage with them. It's disqualified, it's not marriage. That's why the Gemara here is reading it. To which the Gemara says, Ashkach lo tasi b'kidushi, that tells me that their marriage doesn't work. But v'lada kamosa menal, and how do you know that her child, matrilineal descent, will have the same status that she does? So that's brought from Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, who is also known as Rabbi Shimon, who says that since the pasuk goes on to say that they will lead your son astray, we have this whole limud, your son, meaning your son born from her is not Jewish, and so on. I'm not going into that whole discussion right now. That all fits with Rabbi Shimon's view, who is willing to expand Lo Tishchatein Bam beyond the seven Canaanite tribes, the ones who are mentioned in context, to apply to non-Jews in general. But what if you are the Rabbanan and you believe that Lo Tishchatein Bam only applied to the seven Canaanite tribes? Then what? Amar Kra, the bottom line, in Chaf Gimel, Ve'achar Kein Tavoy Lahu Uv'Alta. The pasuk says, after, this is the Eishes Sipas Tohar, after her whole 30 days and so on, and then you live with her, Mechwal Dami Ikara Lo Tasi Bakidushin. That means that there was no Kidushin with her initially. So what it's actually saying here is that there is no recognized marriage for a Jew and non-Jew when the non-Jew is not Jewish, which is always but it's saying that there is no marriage for a Jew and for a Jew with a non-Jew. This doesn't actually prove, though, that non-Jew to non-Jew is invalid in halacha. It's only telling me there is no recognized marriage from a Jew to a non-Jew. In other words, this isn't real. This is brought as proof by some to say, see, there's no marriage for them. But the truth of the matter is, this doesn't address marriage of a non-Jew to a non-Jew. So I don't see why this is a relevant source for us. The stronger source for us is the Gemara in Sota. Chavav Mudbeis. How do you know that if a non-Jew lives with a Kohenes, right, she's no longer going to be able to eat truma, and even if the marriage ends and there are no children, nonetheless, she's still ineligible to eat truma, unlike where she was married to a Yisrael and the marriage ends, then she goes back, right? She goes back to being able to eat truma. Shnemar, because the pasuk says, "Uvas kohen kisya mano grusha." That pasuk that talks about the dissolution of her marriage, such that she can go back and eat truma if she has no children from the Yisrael. That pasuk says, when she becomes an almano or a grusha, misha yeshal almanus v'gerushin ba. It had to be a marriage that involves the potential for being called an almano or being called a grusha. Yatzu of the kochavim ve'evet shein lo almanus v'gerushin ba doesn't exist if you're dealing with a ben noach. There's no such thing as almana status. There's no such thing as Grusha status, and Rashi there in source Chafei says, why do I say that they have no such status? Because Obeko Chavim ain't lo kidushin be Yisrael. He quotes you Sanhedrin Dafnun Beis. He says, the fact that it says Yinafas Eishes Re'eu Prala Eishes Acherim shows there is no Eishes at all.
Why would she be Psula to begin with?
Why would she be Psula to Truma? The Halala, no? She's in an illicit marriage.
Not a marriage.
If it's not a marriage at all, why should she be?
Why is it enough of a marriage to say that the dissolution of the marriage is not a real dissolution and therefore she missed all of it to begin with?
That's an interesting question. I want to think about that one. Nivla l'apostola, right, that would be it. Right, Rabbi Abbey points out, Nivla l'apostola isn't about chasmas.
So it's not about chasmas.
Yeah.
So
it's about Nivla, correct.
But then what would be therefore, which once again, if that's the problem, then why
didn't
you discuss it?
Right, the Gemara's conclusion here makes it sound like there was a relationship issue, not simply an act.
Correct.
It's a good point. And then one last source indicates both ways, and that's the Gemara Avodah Zarah Daf Lamed Vav Amid Beis, which has a machlokes about whether a Jewish man who lives with a Bas Noach is violating Eishes Ish. I'm going to come back to this Gemara later on because it will be relevant later on in the Shir. But the Gemara talks about the Gezerah Derabbanan against Benosei Hen, against relations with a Bas Noach. And the Gemara challenges and says, what are you talking about? That's Daraisa, Lo Tishchatein Bam. That's a prohibition. That's not a disqualification of marriage. That's understanding Lo Tishchatein Bam, excuse me, as a prohibition. So the Gemara says, well, that's only for the Lo Tishchatein Bam is only the seven Canaanite tribes. To which the Gemara says, but Rabbi Shimon applies it to everybody. How will Rabbi Shimon understand it? To which, flip the page, the Gemara says, no, D'oraisa is if it's in the manner of marriage. The D'rabbanan Gzer was only if it's Znus. To which the Gemara says, but the Beis Din of Shem prohibited Znus, right? That's the whole Tamar piece. The Ella Daraisa Ove Kochav Mavo Bas Yisrael, the Mashcha Basra, you want to distinguish between where it's an Ove Kochavim male versus an Ovedes Kochavim female. And offer that as our solution. Bottom line, jumping to the bottom line in that Gemara. The Gemara says that the Gezera based in Shachashmanoi was Yisrael Habal Ovedes Kochavim Chayim Mishum Nashga. Nashga, the Aleph is Eshes Ish. To say that there was a Gezera Derabanan on it, which indicates that it's not the that's not the Deoraisa. The Sarashi, who says that there is no Ishes for them, is clearly going to agree with that and say, yeah, there is no Ishes Ish status for them. So out of all of this, what we've seen is that you can read the Gemaras both ways. You can read all the Gemaras that seem to say that there is Ishes and say, yeah, but that's only referring to Vidavak. You can read the Gemara in Sota that sounds like it's saying that there is no relation, and say there's no relation in terms of a marriage that we would call Ishus, but there's still Vidavak. The Vidavak is sort of you're out on both directions. So how do we paskin on this? So at least two Rishonim say there is no biblical Isser for a Jew with a married Bas Noach. The Rashba says it, as I brought you in Chav Zayin. He says it based on Prav Eishes Acherim in the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Beis that we saw before. They like Rashi, and we're going to see it later in a Rashba and Yevamos as well. And the Ritva, who we saw before regarding Mechor Adavar, so the Ritva learns it from the idea that Akum Einam B'Taras Gidin B'Kiddushin. What about the view of the Rambam? What's the Rambam's psak? So the Rambam in Chavtes, and this is what we saw quoted before in the Avnei Miluim, as I underlined, says, Ein Ishus La'akum. Ha! That does seem pretty black and white. So the Lecha Mishnah says, not so fast. He says, She'ein Ishus La'akum. V'chitem akrolam ali. Then you'll tell me that Ein Ishus La'akum. So why do I need a pasuk for Yavas Tawar? So he says, Tirtzu HaTosfos. Tosfos answered, because of Vidavak B'Ishto. So as far as he's concerned, the Rambam is not going to say that this is disqualified. The Rambam is going to say that there is marriage for them under Vidavak B'Ishto. It's just not a losase. But there is indeed an isarase. Whereas the Avnei Miluim says, no. And I brought it here in Lamed Aleph, even though we saw it referenced before. He says, no, the Rambam actually believes that there is no Ishus at all. The Kudrasay Shiurim thinks that the Avnei Miluim is incorrect. The Kudrasay Shiurim Kedushin Aleph Vav. He says, Ein Ishus La'akum does not need to exclude Vidavak. So, if their marriage is not recognized, if that's really what you're going to say, that there is no Ishus, does that mean that the Jew who is with the Bas Noach has violated nothing? The question that was that was asked before. So first of all, obviously you have a Znus issue. Right? You can't get around the fact that there's a Znus issue if they're not living together as a marriage. You may have Lo Sischatein as an Isur Pasuk from the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, as we have to still discuss. You have a Lifnei Iver that comes from the Avnei Miluim. You might also see, as some of you I know saw during Seder, the Minchas Chinuch Lamed Hei Sivkat and Dalet. And as noted before, you will still have the Vidavak possibility, which you could take to mean they have some level of Ishus, or you could take to mean there's an Ishus that's just not like ours. But it is a different relationship in any case.
Behold, there is Ishus or marriage by a non-Jew.
Yeah.
So if a married Jewish woman
has
a kid with a married Jewish non-Jew,
yes,
is the kid a mamzer then?
That is an excellent question. And the answer is, the question was, is there mamzerus? Is there mamzerus with a Ben Noach who is married? Right? Well, Ben Noach being married actually doesn't matter. The only question that you have is she's married. Ben Noach's marriage doesn't prevent her from being with him. It's polygamy. Right? The only question that you'll have is a married Jewish woman with an akum, does it generate mamzerus? That's the question. And the answer is, I have to look it up. No. Then it's not an issue at all. A Ben is, stop. A Bas Yisrael who is married with a ben noach? That's his question. Does it generate manzus?
Yeah, she's not.
Yes. That's
the different question.
Okay, now I'm going right there. The
better question
so
is, she can live adultery then.
The hopefully not. The so Kiddushin and non Jews, part three. The if marriage from Ben Noach to Bas Noach really is not Ishus, as far as Yisrael is concerned, then maybe marriage of a Jew with a Ben Noach is not going to be recognized. Yes. And what will be the Isser against a Jew marrying a Bas Noach who's single? In other words, forget now the question of did we recognize their marriages or not. If she is not Jewish and single, is there an Isser de'oraisa involved? It's definitely a bad idea. But is there an Isser de'oraisa involved in him marrying her? Well, that's what we have to see. So, for sure, their marriage is not recognized as Kiddushin. We saw that already in Kiddushin Samaches, which we quoted earlier, when we brought either from Lo Sischatein Bam, or the other pasuk that we had was Ve'achakein Tavaylo Alta, telling me that beforehand you're not allowed to. Now, Tosos notes something interesting here, which I brought you in Lamed Beis. Commenting on that Gemara in Kiddushin that invoked Lo Sischatein Bam, so V'hikshah HaRav Yaakov Me'Orleon. Rabbi Yaakov asks the following question. Maybe Lo Sischatein Bam says you're not supposed to marry her, and it's not supposed to generate Kiddushin, but b'diavad it does generate Kiddushin, because in fact the Gemara Kiddushin Samasayanam Abbeis regarding Arayos says Lo Yikach Ishes Eshes Aviv, but then says I need a separate pasuk to tell me that if he is with Eshes Aviv, that even b'diavad it doesn't generate Kiddushin. So maybe Lo Sischatein Bam is only lachatchila. But b'diavad, in fact, there is Kiddushin. V'tirits.
The actual question needs an explanation first before we even get into it, because according to the Rambam, there's no Ishus, right?
The Ishus between non-Jew and non-Jew. This is now a Jew and a non-Jew.
But what if there's no Ishus, though?
But that doesn't affect me. That's a different relationship. This is now a Jew and a non-Jew.
Okay, he can have a beer with a non-Jew.
No. I mean marriage. They want to move in together. They want to be married. They want to be a couple. They want to be known as Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so.
But what wouldn't one of the considerations be whether that's... Okay, so let's say there's no or there or whatever, but as far
Jeffrey,
as...
Jeffrey, you can ask me afterwards or I'm not going to get through this. I'm sorry.
But as far as marriage, though, if there's no Ishus by a non-Jew... But you got to get the question first.
No, what I'm saying to you is that Ein Ishus La'akum means non-Jew to non-Jew. And I'm talking here about where one of them is actually a Jew. And so the question is, can a Jewish man create Kiddushin with a non-Jewish woman? And we said no, because of Lo Sischatein Bam. But Tosfos notes that in that same sukkah we said that having one pasuk to say this doesn't generate Kiddushin isn't enough, because that's only lechatchila. So the answer he gives is, Inachanami, Ela Samach Alo Sischatein Ve'alo Sikach. The answer is, it's using two parts of two different psukim. Lo Sischatein is one, and also, Bitalo Sikach Livnecha. That's the second pasuk. One is for the chatchila, and one is for bidiyevet. However, that pasuk only works for Rabbi Shimon, right? As we said, because Rabbi Shimon is the one who applies that pasuk to all non-Jews. So, what do I do for the chachamim? And so, for that, we bring Be'achakein Tavoy Lehu Uvalta. That demonstrates that the kiddushin is not recognized. One last piece, which is the Gemara in Yevamos, also indicates that the kiddushin is not recognized. Yevamos meant, hey, source lamed gimel. It's talking about the fact that a child who is born from an akum with a Jewish woman is kosher. This is not dealing with the question you asked about what if she's married. This is just a general question. A single Jewish girl with someone who is not Jewish, Rahman al-Itzlan. So he says, the kid is a kosher. The kid is not a mamzer. So he says, "Man the Masher Savar, Ma Eishes of Diladi De Lo Tafsi Bakidushin, Lachrini Tafsi Bakidushin." He says, in the event that he is with his father's wife, so kiddushin from the father does not work with her, but the father could create kiddushin with others. But here, the father of the child can't create kiddushin at all. And therefore, the kid is not a mamzer. In other words, in the event that the father was via an arayos, the kid is a mamzer, because he can create kiddushin with others. Here, you can't create Kedushin with others, and therefore there's no moms here. So the Rashba says, I'm sorry, I'm scratching my head, I don't know what that sentence just meant. That makes it worse, not better. If a father is not eligible to create Kedushin with anybody, then why, then of course the kid's a mom's there. Because if you're telling me when the father can create Kedushin with some people, just not this one, the kid is a mom's heir. Someone who's not in marriage at all certainly should create a mom's heir. They're worse, says the Rashba. Don't bother pushing the question because he's going to answer it. The Rashba's answer is that our paradigm is Arayos. The paradigm for creating a mom's heir is Arayos. I brought it for you in Lamed Dalet. He says, if he can create Kedushin for others and not for her, then it's like an Erva situation and you create a Mamzer. If he has no Kedushin with anyone, they're not subject to Kedushin at all, then Mamzer isn't even part of the discussion. You can make the argument both ways. It doesn't matter for our purposes. What does matter for our purposes is that what we've demonstrated is the marriage between Jew and non-Jew does not create Kedushin. There is no generation of Kiddushin, whether from Los Ischatin, whether from Biachar Kein Tavoi La Uv'alta, demonstrated in the Gemara and Yevamos regarding Mamzer, there is no Kiddushin. The question still is, though, so what is the source for any Isser D'Oraisa in marrying them? And that's going to have to be the first part of our shiur, God willing, on Tuesday morning at 10 a.m., the Erev Yom Kippur. God willing, you'll be able to make it. The shiur is 10 to 11. It's not the same time as Friday's shiur, please remember. 10 to 11 a.m., I hope to discuss that. I hope to discuss Mamzer. I can see I'm not going to get the Psua Daka, which is annoying because I have a lot of notes on it, so maybe at some point we will come back to it. It's a fascinating topic in its own right. Have a great Shabbos, Yuchuva, Marchesim Atova.